Praise the Lord. You're all here in the house of God. All in one piece. God is good. I orchestrated that praise and worship so it was all about Jesus. Because the body of Christ has gotten their eyes off of Jesus. They've gotten their eyes onto the world. And we need to get back to Jesus. If we expect God to do anything for us, we need to get back to Him. And those that don't have their eyes stayed upon Him right now are in danger of losing their salvation. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to lose my salvation. You look around about you, what the devil's doing on the land today, what it would be like to spend eternity with him in hell. You know, you have to start thinking about these things, guys. You can't be fooling around anymore. You can't be playing games with God because God quit playing games a while back, in case you aren't aware of that. You know, and sin is sin. I don't care what it is. Sin is sin. Overeating is sin. You know, and we need to quit pointing fingers, and we just need to judge our own selves. You know, my mother used to always say, everybody has to take their own hide to heaven. You know? And, you know, she meant, you work on yourself and let somebody else work on their self. You make sure you're right and you're going to go there. I just want to share something with you that God shared with me the other night. Wednesday night, come to church. He said to me, what does my word tell you about training your children? And I said, the Bible says, train your children up in the ways they shall go, and they'll never depart from them. And God said, but I'm going to do a twist on this with you. When you're training up your children, it doesn't just mean going to church. If you're training your children up to see you do drugs, and they live in a house with drugs, they'll be drug addicts. And it says, train your children up in the ways they shall go, and they will never depart from it. So that means if you're teaching your kids drugs, they're going to be a drug addict. And they're not going to depart from it because you taught them that's the way life is. All right, if you won't make your child go out and work, then you're teaching them to be a sluggard, and they won't amount to anything all their life. And when, you know, our children are God's children, and He gave them to us to raise up. And we're going to be held accountable. How did we raise our children? My boys say, how come you're always making us work? I said, I'm teaching you that you have to work to survive. I don't care how my parents said that to me. Well, look at the Amish family. They have their kids out there in the fields when they're only just able to walk. They're out there pulling weeds. They're training their children up in the way they should go. And we just think, well, you need to take them to church. That's not true. I mean, that is true, but that's not the only thing. It's every aspect of their life. Whatever you're teaching them is what they're going to follow because, after all, you were their example. I mean, you know, and God told me that, and He wants me to share that, so I did. So how are you training your children? Are you teaching them to be drug addicts? Are you teaching them it's all right to smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day? You know what I'm saying? Are you teaching them you don't have to work? You can be a sluggard all your life? The Bible talks about a sluggard in the Bible, and it's not very good. So what are you training? Are you teaching your kids that sitting on a bed watching TV all day long is, you know, the way to live? Playing games all day long is a way to live? You men are sitting around playing games. You're a bad example for your children. Because you're teaching them that's the way life is. It isn't the way life is. That's the way the devil is. And the devil's perverting everything that Jesus, that God wanted to make good. The devil's perverting it. All right, are you training your children in your home are you fighting and yelling and screaming at each other all the time? Are you teaching them that's how you live, fighting, yelling, and screaming all the time? You're training your children. I really want you to think about this. Because I never thought about it that way. And God said, I'm going to give you a new twist on this. He said, because the people are not training my children up in the ways that they should go. You mothers, are you teaching your kids that it's the house should be dirty and they just sit around and do nothing? You know? I find out that people that drink is because their parents drank. and taught them that's the way you live. Kids that cuss and carry on, that's all they ever hear of their parents is cussing and carrying on, and so they think that's natural. They think that's the way you live. They should live. See, it's very imperative that you get this in your spirit. You might have been messing up all these years, but it's very imperative that you get this into your spirit and start training your children up in the ways that they should go. Mom, my daddy taught me a very good lesson about stealing. Like, killed me with the lesson. But he taught me a very good lesson in stealing, and I never stole because he instilled upon me the word says you do not steal. And I've been training my boys in that, and they hate people to steal from them. And, you know, I'm trying to train them up in the ways that they should go so they don't depart from it. All right, so you got that little lesson there. Father God, I thank you and I praise you for your divine intervention. I thank you, Father God, for the wisdom you give us at all times. I thank you, Father, for those who came out here tonight to this morning to sit at your table and be fed fresh manna from heaven. I thank you, Father, that you surely are in control if we allow you to be. And Father, for the parents who are not raising their children right, God, prick their hearts this morning and let them check themselves out. And are they living the life that you have told them to live in the Word? And are they teaching their children to live the life of the Word? And Father God, I thank you that you're here in our midst this morning. I thank you, Father God, that you taught us about Job a couple services ago, and because you knew we were going to be going through some experiences that were going to be rough. Father God, you're always a right on time God. You always deliver the right message at the right time. And we thank you that you love us so much that you are not going to allow the enemy to take us off guard. And we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And you know, God did. He did teach us about Job for the second time. And I've been talking to a lot of people, or they've been talking to me, and a lot of people are going through Job experiences right now. And I said, I'm like Job. I'm complaining all the way. I'm not going to lie. And I'm trying not to complain. But anyhow, whatever we do, we keep hold of the hand of God. And he knows exactly what we're going to go through. And just go through it. You can complain if you want. Just don't stay in the pit. All right, this morning, I'm going to, you know, right now God's been telling me that we need to go back and relive and think about the words he spoke a while back. And somebody put on Bob Jones's word that they put on before. And when I saw that, you know, God said to go ahead and give that. It's to remind us of what God's really doing. So Bonnie Jones said 4 years prior to Bob's passing, he would say that he was looking forward to his 85th birthday because, like Caleb, he would receive his promises. Bob was born in a small town of Gravely, Arkansas on February the 4th, 1930. Since 2015, these years are important. Since 2015 will mark his year of promise, I would like to share Bob's teaching and revelation regarding his promise of the returning glory. He recorded a CD titled The Glory Train in 2010. Therefore, I'm using excerpts from it and leaving the text in the manner he spoke it so you can hear his heart and feel his spirit as you read it. It was always Bob's desire to encourage people and bring them to a higher level in the spirit. If you know Bob Jones, he was very, very, very anointed. And he went to heaven a couple times. Excerpts from The Glory Train, spoken by Bob Jones in 2010. This is what he says. A year ago, I had a vision. And I waited a while to put it all together. And this is a vision I had. The train had come and I boarded it. I had a ticket and a seat. It was a very long train, and it didn't have any boxcars on it. It was all just one long, large train, and you could see from the beginning of the train to the end of it, there were literally thousands of people on this train, and they were all sitting down. So I found my seat, and I sat down too, and I was wondering, where's this train going? What is this train? I saw the conductor come by, so I asked him, what is the train? He said, this is a glory train. Now I said, where are we heading? He said, to any city that wants it. And I said, when will we arrive? And he said, we will begin to arrive in 2012. And he had this vision when in 2010, okay? It was in this time frame, or this is what I'm saying, it was in this time frame that God spoke to me and told me the glory was in the church, but not in all of its fullness. Remember when God told us the glory is here, but not in all of its fullness to do the greater works. And in that year, 2012. Then he gave me, this is Bob Jones. Then he gave me an egg, and I said, when do I get to break open this egg? And he answered in 2012. I said, what is this egg? What's inside this egg? He said, time. You see, there was no time before man. Time was created for man. And in this egg, there is yesterday's, today's, and tomorrow's time. And every time you hear the train whistle, it will remind you of the coming glory. That was the end of his vision. All right. Every time we hear a little train going on out there, we should think of the glory, right? So Bob Jones says, so Bonnie and I traveled to some places, and one of the first places was Atlanta. And when I brought this revelation, a train passed by. You know, when he told about the dream, he said a train passed by, and we heard the train whistle really loud. Then we went to a restaurant, and all we saw was pictures of trains on the walls. And then we went to Knoxville, Tennessee, and I brought this revelation, and a train began to whistle. I noticed an artist was painting the glory train. So I've been waiting for the rest of it to come together, and I felt today was a day to begin to make the tape of the glory train. So every place after God gave him the vision, every place he went, he saw the glory train. Now you need to start listening and watching what God's showing you in your dreams. Then I guarantee you every place you go, you're going to see this thing you saw in your dream. God is trying to get us to start recognizing our dreams is him showing us what's going to be happening in the future. All right. Two promises were given. Bob Jones says, two promises were given to me in the past when I came back from death on August the 8th of 1975. The first promise was that I was to come back and touch some of the leaders of the church, to prepare them for the greatest harvest of all time, which would be 1 billion people coming into the Lord in one great harvest. Now, that was in 1975. And then I was told to get ready, for I would live to see the glory return. For he showed me a couple of months before, in 1975, that the glory was departing, leaving the church. And I said, Lord, how can we live down here without the glory? I saw the glory often in the early 70s. I saw many men and women that had the glory on them, for they shone and they had an inner glow. In 1975, the glory left the churches. Bob Jones said, and I had asked him, why are you pulling back the glory? And he told me, because people have been marketing his glory for their own lust, their own purposes, and their own plans, and he was removing it. What did God tell me about 20 years ago about the Holy Spirit? He was pulling the Holy Spirit out of the churches because the people was walking over the Holy Spirit, and he would not tolerate that any longer. All right. And when he pulled out the Holy Spirit, what else did he pull out? The miracles, the signs and wonders, the harvest of souls. Then Bob Jones said, I totally missed the glory, and I told the Lord to take me home now. I mean, it's just like I said, whenever God took the Spirit out, you know, you might as well be dead, because there's no life without the Spirit. Bob Jones says, I just don't want to live down here without your glory. So he gave me this promise. He said, you will live to see it return, but you'll be old, but you'll live to see it return. So in 75, he told me he would live to see it return, but he would be old. That meant he's going to have to wait a while. Remember what God told me, tell them the glory is coming, but don't grow weary in telling them that. And it's been a while since he told us that. Bob Jones says, now several of these people that I saw, that really shone beautifully, one by one, I saw them fall. In other words, people lost their ministries. It was like they couldn't handle the glory because they took it for themselves instead of glorifying the Father. So then I understood why the glory was removed. That is why some churches are going to fall, because they took God's glory, they took His Holy Spirit, and they use it to build yourself up, and God's going to remove them because God's not pleased with that kind of ministry. But I want to tell you something about the coming glory. It will ruin you. This is what he said. You will never be any good for the world again. You will live to be in the glory, in that glory. That's why I look around and I see, I know the glory hasn't dropped because the people haven't changed. And I keep saying, God, it's only the glory that's going to change the people because nothing else has worked. I've been saying that to him for years now. Because I see people either staying the same or going back into their old sins or doing all kind of dumb stuff. That means you have not stepped into the true glory of the Father. All right, he goes on to say that glory is a feeling of well-being like you never had before. It's like that glory wraps you like in a cocoon of the anointing, and you can feel so secure, so loved, and so wonderful. And this coming glory, we cannot take this glory for our selfish purposes. This is why it's been so long in returning, and we must glorify God in it. There's people in this church right now, if God hits you with the glory and used you to do signs, wonders, and miracles, you get so full of pride and do stupid things, and you would, you know, God couldn't use you. So he's trying to get all the old junk out of you before he drops the glory, because once he drops the glory, and if you still have the junk, then you're out. You're just out. You know, and I'm not going to tolerate any more foolishness in the house of God, because you're destroying the glory that God has here. If you want to sin, then you need to go someplace else and partake of your sin, because a lighthouse does not tolerate it. And you can't be one way in church and one way outside the church anymore either. If you're a teacher, then, you know, if you're a teacher and you're sinning, you know, there's, God really judges a teacher who sins. If you read the word, teachers are judged worse than anybody. And so if you're not living the life, then don't try to teach it. All right, he says, Bob says, so one of the main things I see getting ready to take place with this coming glory is John 14:13. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So what he's saying here is the reason why God's not answering your prayer is because you are not walking in the glory. Isn't that what he said there? So one of the main things I see getting ready to take place with this coming glory is John 14:13. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father, why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. In other words, when you walk to somebody and lay hands on them and say, be healed in the name of Jesus, they'll be healed. When you're full of the glory, you know, and I know God has promised each one of us a lot of things, a lot of giftings that are in there, but we have to line up with the Word of God in order for those giftings to come to pass. For this coming glory will be with such signs and wonders as you have never seen before. Even doing greater things than what Christ did, because He's going to the Father, made it possible for us to do this. This is why God is saying in this era, we're going to do the greater works, because the glory of God is going to be here manifest in the fullness of God. And under that fullness of God, there's where your greater works occur. This coming glory is to glorify one thing, is to glorify the Father. And this is why the Lord has been dealing in our spirit man, our conscience, all these years, to bring us to a place to where we wouldn't sell out to the world, but we would glorify the Father in everything that we do. You know, everything you do should glorify the Father, and I can guarantee you that that isn't happening in this church. I don't minister to other churches. Everything you do is not glorifying the Father. You might be doing it in secret, but the Father sees you, just like when I eat that cashew. He says, I see you. I don't care if nobody else is around. He sees you. He knows exactly what you're doing. And he's not pleased with this. He's not. I don't know about you, but I search my heart every day. God, if I'm doing anything to displease you, please let me know so I can get it right. I don't want to do anything that displeases a father, including complaining about my leg. come on. Sin is sin. And we're not supposed to be complaining. We're supposed to be rejoicing, right? Okay, where are we at here? Bob says, back in the early 70s, wherever you walked, people would see you shining. I'm talking about those that were unsaved. They would see you shining. Sometimes they would just want to draw up close to you because they would say, I've been so depressed. Can I sort of stand by you? Because when I stand by you, I'm not depressed anymore. I don't know what it is, but whatever you got, I need. That's why people wanted to come into my office and sit beside my desk. See, I didn't know until I read this. Come on. Do you have what other people need? Do they want to come and stand beside you because the glory of God is so strong in you that it just emanates from you and you bring peace wherever you go? And what do you think about? Are you happy when somebody else is put down? I hear that a lot in the body of Christ. I've heard that in this body and I don't like it. You sort of grin to yourself, oh, well, they're going to get it. That's not godly. And God said, judge not lest ye be judged. See, you guys understand, God's trying to get us ready for that great glory drop. Now, I'm sick and tired of hearing about these little churches dotted here and there, and everywhere just having the greater works being done. And, you know, we're supposed to be doing the work here in Delaware, and we are not about the Father's business. I taught on that, didn't I? We're not about the Father's business. We are not making sure we're getting our own temples clean so God can work through us. Your place I go, everybody meets Astrid. They say, that woman loves the Lord. People come here to the church and march with, she really loves the Lord. Yes, she does. She has a lot of problems. Her life is not problem-free. But she truly emanates Christ. And that's what each and every one of us should be doing. We're not going to be problem-free. I mean, God tells us that in the Word. But what we're supposed to be doing is following Christ and showing people Christ. Because look what happened to Jesus when he was on this earth. He still kept doing the Father's work and he did not sin. Okay, you men that are perverted, you know, you think every woman wants you. Look at Jesus. The women were at his feet, washing his feet and all over him. He didn't take him to bed. He didn't lust after them. He ministered salvation to them. See, you have to look at this, you know, don't get all zoned out. Look at this in the natural. Look exactly what he had to go through. Was he tempted? I don't know, but he says in his word, you know, with every temptation, God makes a way of escape. If he was, he took the way of escape. I don't know. I wasn't living with him. You know, I wasn't him. But I'm just saying he kept himself spotless. Come on. And you silly women, you get in the house of God and you have a silly man making Google eyes at you and you think, oh boy, you know, I'm just all that then some. And all they're trying to do is get you in bed somewhere. They could care less about your salvation. When I first got born again, I had more men in church trying to put to make of me. And I never had men in the world put to make of me. They always liked me as a friend. But in church, men were always put to make of me. And I said, what kind of junk is this? You know, if I wouldn't have been strong in the Lord, I wouldn't have went to church no more. Because the men in the churches were awful. And then I found out the women were just as bad. They just sort of hid it. Where men are stupid, they just throw it out there, right? Isn't that facts of life? Isn't that the way it goes? You know, so why beat around the bush about it? Why pretend like it doesn't happen? Because it does happen in the house of God. Well, now I got myself in a bind here. Let me see where we at. Okay, Bob Jones says, evangelism was that easy. it's God's glory. In other words, you know, people just say because of God's glory. I don't see how you could do really good power evangelism without God's glory. You can't. You know, she wrote it the way Bob said it. So he says, I don't see how you could do really good power evangelism without God's glory. You can't. There's a whole lot of evangelists out there shouldn't even be out there. And people sit in the house of God because they don't know any better. They believe the evangelist. And they throw all their money at them, you know. Come on. If you're in the spirit, you're going to know who is not of God. I was over up there at the beach area one time. There was a van just up there. They said she was really great, and I went there. She took up an offering, and I had a $10 bill in my hand. I kept trying to put it in the plate. God would not let me put it in the plate. And those people actually, this is the truth, they actually reached for their dollar bill, you know, the $10 bill, and every time they did, God would take me and put it here. He put it behind my back. He would not let me put that $10 bill in that offering, and I found out later she was not right. You see how, see this? He did not want me to plant into her ministry because she was not working for God. So, Bob Jones said, I don't see how, I read that. So in the name of Jesus, as we begin to move in these latter times now, we will see some of the greatest signs and wonders you've ever seen. It's to glorify the Father, not you. So in the name of, so let me say this. I always tell you, I was really stupid in my ministry all these years because great signs, wonders, and miracles always happen. I was raising the dead and everything else. People just walking by me were healed without touching, and I didn't know what was going on. I did not understand that I had a gifting that a lot of people don't have. I did not understand how wonderful it was that all these things were occurring. I just thought, isn't God good? You know, And people, some pastors said, I don't see why you don't have a big church. Well, it's because God didn't want me to have one then. And when I was out in the evangelistic field, God pulled me off the evangelistic field. And I said, God, why can't I evangelize anymore? He said, because they were getting ready to crucify you out there. He says, so I had to draw you, bring you back in so I could teach you some things. Then he started teaching me how mean the churches are. Started teaching me how people aren't right in the churches. And that's why he pulled me off the evangelistic field. I was having a good time out there. Souls were being saved. Miracles were happening. But God said, they were getting ready to crucify you. And then a shame that God had to do that because the body of Christ was getting ready to try to destroy me. You know, when you see your brother and sister down, you don't kick them. Or if they're really working for God and they're really having a good time, you don't shove them down. We're supposed to love one another as Christ loved the church. But I don't see too much of that in the house of God. Not right now, but I know God's changing it. All right, Bob Jones said, so we're in a time of the coming glory. You believe that, do you not? We're in a time of rain. I believe this rain is going to be literally like what they call a latter rain. I believe, and you know, and God told us, he's been telling us he's going to bring the former and the latter rain. You remember him telling, if you don't remember, he has been telling us he's going to bring the former and the latter rain. And here Bob Jones just said the latter rain, but he's going to bring both. I believe what's getting ready to take place really is the latter rain, and it will never end. God told me he was bringing the former and the latter rain together. I also believe it. Then Bob Jones says, I also believe it is the reign of a king. I believe that we're going to begin to anoint Jesus as king. And I believe he's going to begin to reign over our hearts again. And we're going to begin to glorify the Father. And that's why God did it really. Our song service is all geared to who Jesus is and what he can do, you know, and how we should be magnifying him. And I just hope and pray that you really do, after today, you really do start magnifying the Father. You know, just really talk to Jesus. I love that song. You know, just talk to Jesus. instead of talking to yourself or your husband and wife or whoever, talk to Jesus. He's the only one who has the true answers. Sometimes I'm talking to people trying to help them. All of a sudden, I think, I just need to shut up because I'm just talking in circles and God's not in this thing right now. You ever feel like that? And you just have to cut it off because you haven't put God into conversation. So therefore, it's just you and the other person talking to, and you don't want to do that. Okay, where am I at here now? So what's in the Father's heart? We start reading it, or is that where I'm at? So what's in the Father's heart is going to be relayed to his sons and his daughters' hearts through repentance and praise. Whatever's in God's heart is going to be relayed to us, sons and daughters. How? Through repentance and praise. So get ready to lift your hands back up to him again. I saw Sister Barbara lift her hands up in the last song, and I thought that was powerful. I don't know what she's doing behind me, but she was beside me and I saw it. You might have been lifting your hands too. I think it's time we just start lifting our hands to him. Come on. Instead of holding our hands down, where the devil's at, we ought to start lifting our hands. Next time I see Aaron riding his little white truck or whatever he rides, I want to see him going, praise the Lord, as he's driving down the road, you know? Tracy Ann said, I never said whatever she said last night and raised my hands as much as I did last night. We need to be raising our hands all the time. Amen. So get ready to lift your hands back up to him again. Lift everything back up to him. Lift that glory back up to him. It's just as when you do things right in the natural, you glorify your father and your mother. We need to start doing in the natural what God wants, is what is taking place in the heavenly. We need to bring it back down to the natural and start glorifying the Father and showing respect to those around about us. I believe you're getting ready to see the glorifying of the Heavenly Father. And I would sort of say concerning the mother, I believe the mother is the church, which it is. God loves the church, and I believe the enemy has walls around the church that kept the church in prison. That's true. The glory is going to blow those walls down, and the church is coming out to accomplish some things it was meant to do. And the church will experience the greatest harvest of all time that will never come to an end. I was telling Aaron this morning that, you know, God told us a couple years ago that whenever he comes, it's going to be like the 4th of July. And now a lot of prophets are saying that God's coming with his glory, and it's going to be, it's like the 4th of July, where they're saying it's going to be with the streamers and everything going off. And it's going to be like celebrating the 4th of July. Now I said, God, you told us quite a few years ago that that's how you were going to come. And now all these other prophets are saying that. So that, and I'm hearing God say, I'm lining everything up for the perfect drop. So he's bringing the other, you know, we're forerunners, so he's bringing everybody else in line so everybody knows what's going on. And whenever he does his glory drop, we're going to all work together and not separately like it's been going on. And you're going to see a lot of big churches close. So you're going to have a lot of buildings empty. And God told me when he puts us out of here into another place, it's going to be fully furnished. Everything that we need will be in that building. And he said we won't need to put any money into it because it will be totally and completely the way we need it. So I quit looking for a building because God knows where that building's at. It might be another church somebody's going to lose the church, and it might be sitting there with everything we have in it. And then God said he's going to fill this church up to overflowing. And then overnight, we're going to move into this new building. So don't come and try to tell me how to move. That's how I got here in a mess. I know what God's going to do for us. So what you need to do is start looking around. How full was the house? So when you see the house full, then you know our move is right there. All right. All right, the Lord revealed to me, that Bob Jones, the Lord revealed to me on August the 8th of 75, when I was 45 years old, that I would see promises that were given to me come into being when I'm 85. He was what? 45. And God said, you're going to see the promises when you're 85. It's going to take him 40 years to receive his promises. What are y'all complaining about? Maybe you need to go back to your first promise and see when it was, and see if your 40 years is up yet. Are you understanding this? You wanted it done yesterday, and God told Bob Jones, you aren't going to get your promise till you're 85. So I'm going to be around to see this take place, he says. I'm going to begin to see the glory of God in the fields, the harvest fields that will never come to an end. And this is what God has told us. Once he starts, he's never going to end. So once we go into, because of what he tells us, get our houses in order, because when I drop my glory, I'm never going to stop, and you're going to be in church 7 days a week. You're going to be too busy to do anything else. So are you getting your houses in order? I'm trying to get mine in order, but that seems like a non-ending project here. But, you know, are you getting your houses in order? All right, but in other words, are you getting your life lined up? When that glory drops, it's going to drop suddenly, and you're not going to have time to do anything. Get all your bills in automatic pay. You know, it's stuff like that. I'm serious. It's stuff like that you have to start doing. All right, I'm going to see that glory on praise, intercession, prophecy, and repentance on a level that's never been seen before. I'm going to begin to see that glory on praise, intercession, prophecy, and repentance on a level that's never been seen before. A glory that's 10 times anything that's ever been. What's God? God's really dealing with us about how we praise him. And he's really been dealing with us about repentance. So God's already on the move. He's already working. Are we on the same wavelength with him is what you have to ask yourself. Am I where God wants me to be? Am I doing what God wants me to do? So we're on that glory train. And anytime you hear a train whistle, just say this in your thinking. Excuse me, I'm on that train. I'm on God's glory train. My future is in his glory train, and that's where I'll abide with him. I was hoping the train would come by this morning. And Bob Jones said, in all my time down here, that glory train will get bigger and bigger, because when it stops in the city, that city will no longer belong to the enemy. It will belong to the Father. So when we hear that train going, we're going to say, God, that's the glory. And we receive Camden, Wyoming as yours. It's no longer the sin city it is. Get ready for entire cities to be saved. That'd be wonderful. Get ready for the glory to shine at night like streaks of flames, like fireworks. So he says it too. Like fireworks, to where you'll visibly begin to see his glory. It's a coming glory, but I don't believe we have to wait long for it to come. I believe it's at the door waiting, and surely it will come through. So be excited in these times and get aboard the glory train. That's the invitation. Get aboard that glory train and let's ride with him in his glory as we glorify the Father. So in Jesus' name, these things I spoke, let it enter into your conscience, your spirit man, to where you shine. An inner shining and an inner glory that will shine in the darkest night, that will never let darkness come in. For you see, when light shines, darkness hides, and you're the shining light. God's been dealing with us about our light, hasn't he? And this is what he's saying, shine, that's your glory. Don't put a bushel over your glory, but let your glory so shine so that man may see the glory and come to the knowledge and to salvation. Jesus' name, amen. The end of Bob's excerpt. You look around about you, there's not very many people here. But if the glory was here, they'd be jam-packed right out in the hallway. See, they won't just come and sit and be taught. They want to get in the excitement. And that's why I don't believe in hype in any way, shape, or form. God's word is plain and it's simple, and you should receive God's word as it is. And then then he'll drop his glory on you, and you'll be able to enter into the great things that God has for us. Well, you know, I'm not going to go down there today because they don't have very many people in there. But you know what? The ones that are in here, are the ones God keeps taking to the threshing floor, putting you through the sieve, getting you ready for the great, great glory that's going to drop. And then you were the ones that he's going to use to lead up and help these people, the new people that's coming in, help them to learn about Jesus Christ. And I see God bringing your giftings out in all their fullness. I've been watching this. And, you know, in, whether you're sitting quietly or whatever you're doing, but God is showing me how he's maturing your giftings so that when we do the greater works, they're all ready to go ahead and start working. No pride. No using God's glory for, you know, for your own satisfaction. God's glory is to glorify him and him only. Bonnie Jones says, I hope that this encourages you to go higher in the Lord and to live daily with greater expectation for the returning glory. Excuse me. Bob, like Caleb, entered into his promises and brought the next generation forward. Now it's up to us to carry forth the torch and ignite the fires. Bob Jones died, never saw the glory. Did you catch that as we were reading in? He's already dead. Excuse me, but she had a little bit more that she was saying, that Bob didn't receive, you know, wasn't here to see the glory, but he's up there watching the glory. So what I'm saying here is that God told Bob Jones he would see the glory in his old age. Bob Jones died in his old age, but he didn't see the glory, but he is up there seeing the glory in his old age. We don't understand God when he speaks. We really don't. And people might call you a false prophet. They might think, well, how come they're saying this? And, you know, he started in the 70s, and here it is in the 2000s, whenever God told me, it was 1970-something, and here it is in 2000-something, and God told me he was going to see the glory. That all that time. And all he did was go, he just ministered to other preachers all the time. And preachers would come to him and say, the things you ministered to me back, I'll say 10 years ago, have come to pass. So, you know, even though we don't see it right now, it is going to come to pass. What has God told you? What has he told you? That's what you need to hold on to instead of saying, oh, well, that was a false prophet. That's never going to come. Well, it won't. You just threw it out the window. We're not microwave people. God tells us what he wants to do with our lives, and then he starts training us to go into that. And but see, all the time he's training you, you have to live a holy, righteous life. You can't be still out there walking in the darkness. You have to live a holy, righteous life. And then, okay, let's just say Skip. God has promised Skip healing, and he's been as sick as a dog. You know, he's been really sick. And so he could think, oh, that wasn't God. It wasn't God telling me I'm going to be. He doesn't think that, but he could. And God's going to use him. But what's the devil doing? Devil's making him, trying to get him to doubt God's word, trying to make him believe he's not going to make it, but he's going to make it. Are you understanding this, guys? The devil does not lay down and just because God's given you a promise. He fights you stronger than he's ever fought you before. Because he does not want those promises to come to pass in your life. And I'm just like you. But I know my promises are going to come to pass, but I'm thinking, do it quickly, Lord. You know, I don't ever go into doubt and unbelief because God said, if you go into doubt and unbelief, you told me this years ago, he said, I'll take your candlestick from you. And you know, your candlestick is your ministry. So if you go into doubt and unbelief, you might as well forget what God's promised you because it's never going to come to pass. And if you aren't living a holy, righteous life, it's not going to come to pass. God's given you all his grace. His grace has been wonderful, hasn't it? He's given you all these years to get together. And he said, but whenever he closes that door, you're done. Doesn't matter how much you try to repent or anything else, you're done. The story about the 10 virgins is a church. So this morning I want to ask you this. Are you ready for the glory? Are you really ready for the glory? Or will it destroy you? I want you to think about this with every fiber of your being. because I'm hearing God say right now the glory is getting ready to drop in this church. But are you ready to receive it? If you have any doubt in your heart whatsoever, God wants you up front, and he wants to drop an anointing on you. That's going to help you continue on your path of righteousness that God has placed you on. You know, I don't touch you when you come up the altar because years ago, I was accused of knocking you down. And I know you were one of those stubborn people that the angel had to slap up alongside the head to get you down. And you swore him down and I did it. So I said, it's not me, it's God. And, you know, if you go down, fine. If you don't, fine again. But I hope if you do go down that you do receive something. I don't like courtesy drops. When you go down, I hope that. And when I used to go to the meetings and I'd come up front for when they called the altar, you know, and I'd always go out to spirit, but I never knew nothing. I don't know if you know anything or not, but when I went out, I was just out. I couldn't tell you nothing happened. At one time I slept. Some do sleep when they walk up here. But I was, Chris and I was up at Brother Whetstone's church and they had an altar call and I went, I don't know why, but it was right at the beginning. I was out in the spirit all through the rest of the song service, all through the teaching, and all through the ministry. And when I come to, they had invited the pastors to go into a side room for a little bit of a snack. And that's when I was getting up off the floor. And I couldn't tell you a thing that happened. Something happened. God took me somewhere. So do you really need to know what happened? Do you really need to feel something or see something? Just let God take you and minister to you. And Chris stood right, when I opened my eyes, Chris was standing right beside me. He said, you laid here all the time. Never moved. You know, if you're up here getting yourself comfortable, you know, and that, come on. Come on. Let God have control and let God do this thing. So I'm calling you forth this morning into the altar to just let God do the touching. And let God do the rearranging and whatever he has to do. The altar's open.